This show is a proud member of the Nerdy Legion Podcast Network. Get more at nerdylegion.com. Enjoy the show.
Welcome to another episode of the Valiant Central Podcast. I believe this is episode 127. If you're still sticking around,
like 227.
Well, you know, in like a year, maybe.
327?
It might be 727. I'm Martin. Paul's here. We're talking Valiant Comics. Have you heard of them, Paul? I've heard of them. I read some of them.
They're the ones that are printing on newsprint now, right?
Yeah.
$1.50 comics.
$1.50 newsprint.
Yeah.
Speaking of which, did you
read any of the alternate comics?
Yeah, I haven't read the newsprint ones, but I've read some of their stuff before.
Or like the digital. Yeah. So I read the four that came out the first week they came out. And you know what? It was just fun. Like, to get comics for $1.50. Like, of the four that they came out with, two were pretty much super kiddie, but they were still like a fun enough read.
Mm-hmm.
One was, I think, pretty decent for kids. Like, it was one that just kind of works in general. And then the other one was definitely the adult one with more violence and profanity. That one was more suspenseful, so that was like the most interesting of them, I'd say. But you know, for $1.50, they were all just a fun read, and it was nice to read newsprint. If they were $4,
right?
What was that?
Was the chair one?
No. The chair wasn't. Mm-hmm. The chair's published by them, and I'm pretty sure everything they came out with is stuff that's already been published online.
Yeah, I was gonna say, because I thought I had seen that the chair was one of them, and I mean, I read the chair.
There's more stuff gonna be coming out, you know.
Yeah. I read the chair like 4 or 5 years ago.
Yeah. I mean, they've been publishing stuff for quite a while online, I guess. I mean, like, I didn't know who they were. I don't really read much in the way of online comics, and if I did read something online, it would probably be something a lot more, I don't know, niche or kitschy or something.
Mm-hmm.
Something, you know, something just very, very different, you know?
Yeah.
Because a lot of times things that are very different can't really get published because not enough people would want to buy them, you know?
Yep.
You know, published physically.
Yep.
But I mean, the alternative stuff, it was fun to read it all. I tweeted about it. I got a lot of, you know, retweets and likes and stuff like that. So you could tell that there's a lot of buzz, even though like a lot of them were alternate comics themselves and the writers and creators stuff. But it's good. I mean, that's what you should be doing if you make something is going out there and trying to pop the word of it a little bit, you know. So
yeah,
I have a
Batman commission and a Joker commission from Peter Cimetti that did the chair.
That's awesome.
Yep.
Yeah. So anybody listening, like, the thing is, like, for $1.50 a comic, it's you know, trying a comic that costs $4, it's expensive. You know, you try a bunch of stuff. $1.50. I mean, I got four comics for like the price of a Marvel number one nowadays.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, basically. So, and at that price, is like none of them blew my socks off, but they were all fun to read, you know.
Nice.
But you know, that kind of goes in with, you know, obviously we talk about Valiant. You know, with Valiant, you have such a, if you like Valiant, you have such a high hit ratio on enjoyment that you're pretty safe getting anything, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Even if you don't get everything from Valiant, like, if you want to try something, it's a pretty safe bet, you know.
Yep.
It's some of the comments and conversations I've been seeing lately have been interesting. It seems like I don't know why, but it seems like Valiant fans come in waves, and it's not necessarily like, oh, there's big news, so there's another wave of fans. It's kind of like just like a bunch of people discover it, and I think when some of them start getting vocal on, you know, like the Facebook groups and stuff, other ones start getting vocal. And it's not big things, but like, hey, look what I got. Hey, I just started reading Valiant.
Mm-hmm.
Asking questions, stuff like that. And you get like the last graduating class of Valiant fans that, you know, they kind of get past the new fan stage, and conversations start to go off of just the Facebook group, because it's a lot nicer to have a conversation with people you've got to know a little bit because you understand each other, et cetera, et cetera.
Sure.
But it's been kind of fun to see some of the questions and stuff. Like one of the ones that I thought was interesting was somebody asking if there were other people or if there were people who stopped getting comics from Marvel and DC when they started reading Valiant. Obviously, this is somebody who is going through a struggle. I mean, I went through the same thing. I wasn't like huge into comics or into comics for a long time when I started reading Valiant. But I mean, I was reading like some X-Men and Batman and, you know, a few things like that. And as I kept on going all in on Valiant, I was like, do I really want to read these other things? And I didn't even have like a long running collection. So it's tougher if you've been collecting them for a long time, you know, maybe you got into Batman even say with New 52, that's been quite a while now, you know, so you have a lot of Batman comics. So it's a tough decision to say, you know, I'm not really enjoying this, but I'm enjoying these other ones, but now I'm getting this many comics and that's starting to push it. So what do you drop, you know?
Yep.
And I saw a lot of the responses that people made. You know, some people dropped everything and went all in on Valiant. Some people just went to trade waiting for the stuff they wanted to read from the other, you know, the two big publishers. Just a wide variety of things. But I know one thing that we've talked about in the past, like I feel very strongly about, is you should only buy what you enjoy. And it's one thing to collect to a certain extent just because you collect. Like, I'll buy any Ninja Turtle comic I can find because I collect that. And I own Ninja Turtle comics that aren't very good comics, you know. Some of them are strange and out there, and some of them are, you know, there were publishers that got their hands on the property that was doing it to make money, not to make good comics, that kind of stuff. But they're all fun. Like, for me, I enjoy them all, so that's one thing. But I did, like, I went through that, and I shed the burden of, like, oh, I have to keep getting, you know, well, I've already gotten 10 issues of Uncanny Avengers, so, like, I got to keep getting it, right? Like, you know, it's going to get good again soon, right? And I got away from that. But, you know, it's to each their own. If you really love reading stuff from DC and Marvel, why would you drop it? But if you find that there's a title, even if it's a title that you used to love or that, you know, you've been getting for a long time, monthly comics, like, almost none of them are worth a damn. Yeah, so even if you say, you know what, I'm going to stop getting Batman, you know.
Thought about
you can go back and get those if you stop getting them for like 6 months and then you're like, oh man, I wish I didn't do this. It's not going to cost you that much to go back and pick them up.
Yep.
And the thing is that the ones that you stop getting are going to, that you don't regret, are going to outweigh the cost of having to recover ones that you changed your mind on.
Yeah, yeah.
So, you know, if you're really, you know, waffling about it and you can't decide, if you're not enjoying it, just stop it for a while, you know, because you're not going to lose out. I mean, it's rare that you have an issue that, you know, is jacked up in price. Like, you know, the Ninja Turtle issue where Donatello got killed. That issue, I have no idea what it sells for now, but that issue shot up in value. You know, the first print of that issue.
Yep.
That's rare. I mean, say I got sick of Ninja Turtles, like, I don't know. If I stopped collecting it for a year and then was like, oh, I regret this. Well, most of the issues I missed would cost about cover price, maybe even cheaper if you find a lot on eBay. There may be that one instance, though, where you have one that would be more expensive. But if I get 20 titles and I'm like, I pick 5 titles, I'm like, I'm not feeling these. 5 titles over the course of a year is $240. So if you regret dropping one of those, you're still going to be on the plus side with money.
And, you know, sometimes, like, there just might be a creative team you don't enjoy or a particular storyline you don't enjoy. It's okay to drop it. You know, like, the first comic I ever read was Captain America. And I quit reading Cap, I don't know, 92, 93, when I really got into Valiant and Image stuff coming out. And I hadn't really read it until fairly recently when Nick Spencer took over. And now this whole Secret Empire, like, I'm super pumped for Cap, dude. I love the hell out of it right now.
Yeah, I haven't been reading what's going on right now. I mean, I read the first issue of the Nick Spencer run. I think I read the second issue, too. And it was interesting, but I also, you know, for me with any Marvel stuff, I know that I'm better off trade waiting it, and then, you know, more than half the time I'm probably not going to give a damn by the time the trade comes out. But even if I do, I mean, you know, there's Marvel Unlimited, so I can go back and, like, there's stuff like Secret Wars that when it was coming, I was like, well, this would kind of be interesting, but then I was like, is it, you know, $40 worth of interesting for me to read this story? Not really. Because it was, I think, $5 an issue, and it was supposed to run 8 issues. And that's not even, you know, if you get tied into anything else that you, you know, oh, this looks good, I'll get this too. Old Man Logan, I didn't read for the longest time, and I always kind of wanted to because it's Lemire, and I generally like Lemire, but I also, Lemire at Marvel, I haven't liked most of what I've read of his stuff. Mm-hmm. Like, it's not Lemire, it's Marvel Lemire, you know?
Yeah.
But I finally did, like, on Marvel Unlimited, I started reading Old Man Logan. Do I regret not having the single issues? Hell no, I don't regret that. You know what? If I want to have a nice collection to read, I'll either get the trades if I just want it to be real readable, or I'll wait and eventually get the omnibus. I just recently, so I loved Fraction's Hawkeye run.
Yep.
Mostly the art was done by David Aja and is fantastic. And I sold my, I had bought the first, like, I don't know, 5 or 6 issues at an elevated price on eBay when I started getting into it, because I was like, I really love this and I want to have the whole run in first prints. Mm-hmm. So I got that. I sold it before the series ended because the release dates towards the end, like, there had been a couple times throughout the series that it got choppy, but towards the end, like, there was the news of the bad blood between Fraction and Marvel and stuff like that. And I was like, yeah, let's just get out of this now.
Sure.
So I sold everything I had on eBay. I made a profit on it because I sold it then. Now you can buy the run of first prints for way the hell less than I sold it for. But I always kind of wanted the omnibus. But it's a $100 omnibus, so I didn't get it. It's like, well, you know, I can read on Marvel Unlimited. I've read it all once. It's not like I, you know, reread stuff over and over and over. Mm-hmm. I was patient. I eventually got it for $30.
There you go.
Yeah, so, you know, patience pays off. You don't always have to get it just because it's out right now.
Yeah, no, I agree. And I think we've seen a lot of that lately with, I called it a slight restructuring at Valiant. You know, the dropping down to 6 titles, relaunching with new creative teams, kind of appealing to older fans a little bit more than they had been for the past, I don't know, year or so, I would say. It's been interesting. You know, if you drop something, then, it, you know, now's probably a good time to pick it back up. You know, you might find something that interests you. I mean, EXO is freaking fantastic. It's always fantastic, so you should never drop that. But some of the other stuff, like I was listening to, I don't know, it was one of the other Valiant podcasts. I can't remember which one. Oh, you know what? I think it was VCR. They were poo-pooing on Bloodshot Reborn a little bit. And, you know, I know we have listeners that are big Bloodshot fans. I mean, it wasn't the best story, right? We can agree on that.
You mean like the whole run of Bloodshot Reborn? Or are you talking about Bloodshot?
The USA.
Yeah, like, my 2 cents is it was a fun read. You know, beyond that, you know, a lot of people get too caught up in stuff, I think, sometimes, and they'll take something that's just fun and they'll ruin it by... I was having this conversation with Aaron on Messenger yesterday because he was just shitting all over... what movie was it? Doctor Strange. I got Doctor Strange from Redbox.
Yep.
I liked it. I enjoyed watching it. I don't give a damn about anything else. I enjoyed watching it. That's all that matters to me. I go into a movie wanting to enjoy myself. And it's rare that a movie is bad enough that I can't even enjoy it, you know?
Right.
I may not love it. I may not rave about it. I may not recommend it. I may not go buy it on DVD. I still haven't bought the damn second Ninja Turtles movie, and I love Ninja Turtles, so, you know, I saw it in the theater. I was like, that was something. But, you know, Doctor Strange I enjoyed, and so did my cousin Mike, who's, you know, in the same Messenger group because, you know, they do podcasts together and all that. Mm-hmm. And Aaron's just shitting all over it. You know, just, no, this movie's terrible. No, it's not terrible. Well, you know, it tells the same old origin story. Well, yeah, but that's the origin story. If you don't like Marvel origin stories, don't go see a Marvel movie that's the first one for the character, you know?
Right.
Et cetera, et cetera. But, you know, my big argument with stuff like that is don't get orange chicken and expect it to be something new and exciting,
mm-hmm.
you know? You get orange chicken because you know what it is. It's safe. But you don't get orange chicken and then get pissed off because it's not a delicacy. You don't go to Panda Express and you're like, God damn it, this orange chicken wasn't the most amazing orange chicken I've ever had. They could have done so much more with it.
Sure, right.
Well, yeah, they could have. But you know what? You went to Panda Express. You knew where you were going, you know? The thing with orange chicken is the first Starbucks I worked at, there was a hole-in-the-wall Chinese food place that had shitty food. But you got the orange chicken with lo mein, then you put some of that, what do you call it? The sriracha. You put sriracha on it. Oh, my God. It was so good.
Yes.
I stopped getting it when I saw the chef, like, sitting out back smoking and just saw what he looked like. But, you know, it's like that was terrible orange chicken, but I could still enjoy it.
Right.
Because it's orange chicken. I knew what it was, you know? Sometimes you go to a restaurant and you get orange chicken that is absolutely amazing. But, you know, if you go into it and you're like, this is orange chicken, I expected to be orange chicken, when it is amazing, it's a great experience.
Mm-hmm.
And when it's, you know, when it's just orange chicken, you still enjoyed having just orange chicken.
somehow our title is going to have orange chicken in it. So I wanted to do a little bit of feedback, Paul. We got some feedback on last week's episode.
Did we?
We did. Travis, our good
buddy Travis. Was our top-selling episode because of all the penis in it? All the Midge fans jumped on board?
There was a lot of penis. There was, it's true. It's weird. Like, Ultimate Marvel Podcast has a lot of downloads. They don't talk about penis.
That's weird, you know. Maybe it's just because Marvel's run by a bunch of dicks. That's enough penis for it. I don't even know if that's true. I got nothing against Marvel. I've been actually quite enjoying Marvel lately.
Yeah, it's not too bad. Anyways, Travis has some thoughts. Well, correction first. He said we were talking about EXO having that 30,000 copy pre-order bundle thing.
Mm-hmm.
Apparently, it's not 30,000 pre-orders. That's 30,000 copies of including pre-orders and reprints, reorders. So it's not 30,000 bundles, which is interesting. That really makes me want to know how many bundles.
Yeah, I'm curious how many pre-order bundles they sold, definitely.
Mm-hmm.
And that's why I know what you're talking about, because I disputed what he said, because I think you and I both were of a different opinion. That's why I just tagged you in it, because you could actually look up more stuff than I care to. So
Yeah.
Either you would dispel it, or you wouldn't, and then that probably means Travis was right.
He also said Divinity Zero better address Stalinverse. I agree. Or at least include the Red Brigade. Hell yes. Double agree.
I think it better include the Red Brigade. I think that would be a big mistake. Whether it addresses Stalinverse, that can come in other stuff later. So I don't think that that's critical. But I do agree that if you don't include the Red Brigade, you're really screwing up. Because you need to keep pushing those characters, because they're very interesting characters, and you don't want to, like, you can get to the threads of the story later, but characters, you can't just, we're just going to set these characters aside. It's rare you could do that and get people actually still, you know, oh man, we need this, you know?
Yep.
Like warm-up.
Like, well, we'll get to that in a second. our buddy Chris from Calgary, from the VCR 80s Valiant podcast. We were talking a lot about promoting books last week.
I saw his comment. I forget exactly what he said, but I liked it.
Yeah, I'll tell you right now. He said, you know, it'd be a cool way to promote this massacre arc. By the way, recap if you didn't listen to the last episode, and if you didn't, shame on you, go listen. My thing was, I was a little upset with the way they're marketing this book. They're showing all these script pages with 95% of the page blocked out, and they just have a couple words of the script. Anyways, you know, he said, you know what would be a cool way to promote the massacre arc? Release a series of images of different characters dying. Release one every week and have about 6 to 8 and say, one of these covers actually happens in the book. Sort of like the cover with Gunslinger blowing off Cronus's ear. Not only does that make for a bunch of cool death covers, it also fuels speculation. I'm with you. They set the bar high, and I don't have confidence they clear it. Yeah, I think that's a great idea, dude. That'd be awesome.
Yeah. I think that's a great idea. I don't like that Cronus cover.
I don't either. The Gunslinger cover is cool. The one where he's hanging.
Yeah, that one's awesome. The Cronus one, it's. Do you know who the artist is on that?
I don't, but I can look it up real quick.
It's like messy looking art. Like, it's not that clear. Like, at a glance, it's not that clear what's going on in that image. It's just, I don't know. It's just, I didn't find it a very pleasant image. I mean, not just because somebody's getting their, you know, half their face blown off, but.
Yep. Huh, that's weird. So that's the B cover. It's Giuseppe Camuncoli, which that's surprising because usually his art is really freaking good. He was doing Spider-Man at Marvel for a while. I'm not sure what he's doing now.
Doing shitty Valiant covers.
Well, you know, maybe Marvel's keeping him busy, and so he's got no time.
Yeah, I mean that happens sometimes. I mean, we're talking about that with what's his face, Joe Eisma on Faith, that it just like it wasn't on the same level as Joe Eisma on Morning Glories, you know.
Yep.
Whatever. I'm not a fan of that cover.
I'm considering buying that. Who does this cover? Let me look this up real quick. Monica Pelos, the Gunslinger cover where he's hanging by the cables. It's a 1/120 line wide variant.
Mm-hmm.
Gold foil on the Hardcore logo, which I think is awesome.
That is pretty cool. So you're gonna pre-order that through DCBS for like what is it? What are they?
No, I don't know. DCBS on the high ratio variants is really expensive.
Yeah, I've also discovered, I was looking just for the hell of it, their prices on the Ninja Turtle variants are, like, any of the Ninja Turtle variants are too high, in my opinion.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. But I do want that cover. I just ordered the A on that one. I think that cover's fine. So, thanks for the feedback. Of course, you can go to the facebook.com/group/ValiantCentral, comment there. You can tweet at us at Who's Paul, at Geekvine, hello@nerdlegion.com is the email, wherever. You can find us. Unless, you know, I'm off social for a few days like I have been this week because it's been busy. Well, since you brought it up while we were doing our feedback section, Paul, there's a War Mother book coming out.
There is. It was the classified book, and yes. They did the same thing last year, right? With the War Mother one shot, yeah.
Yep, last year it was classified books.
And I'm excited about this. I enjoyed the War Mother issue plenty, and I'm looking forward to Fred Benlenti doing something that I think I'll really like.
Mm-hmm.
Not something that I just like, that's fine, you know? Like, Gen Zero, it was fine. I mean, I enjoyed every issue when I read it, but it didn't knock my socks off, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Ivar didn't wow me. I was like, this is good for what it is, but what it is isn't my favorite thing. So it's like, for me, it's just okay.
Yep.
Whereas, like, Archer and Armstrong, I loved it, you know? So I'm looking forward to him doing a book that I'm pretty sure will be an I love it book.
Yep.
Because I do like Fred Van Lente's writing. I mean, he made Dynamite almost readable.
So it's a classified book. It's been revealed. It's coming out August 23rd, if I'm not mistaken. It's going to be written by Fred Van Lente with art by Steven Segovia. Covers by David Mack. It's going to be a 4-issue miniseries. That's exciting, dude. I'm looking forward to it.
Yeah, and I like David Mack covers, so anytime you get him involved in anything, it's just a plus, in my opinion.
Yep. Well, and I like Segovia art, too. He did... He did one of those Unity arcs. I think the one during Armor Hunters, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah, he's solid. He's definitely solid.
Yep. So that's exciting. Looking forward to that. I don't know if they haven't shown the covers yet, right? They just showed a little image of the A cover, if I'm not mistaken.
I think that's all. They haven't shown a lot of stuff. They just showed one thing.
Yep.
I'm very excited about that. What else was it that I wanted to bring up?
Well, I've got one more thing if you can't think of
it. Yeah, you go ahead and go to your thing. I know I'll look at my messages and remember what else I wanted to bring up.
So today or yesterday or something, over the last couple of days, there's been, I don't know if this is a leak or like this is an actual thing, but the Bloodshot movie cast shortlist has been revealed. So the shortlist is like people they're looking at to play certain characters. This is the shortlist for Bloodshot, and I'm going to read it off to you, Paul. And you tell me what you think about these names. And if you don't know somebody, okay, let me know.
Before you read it off, I want to make a little point for this is kind of how I feel about this type of stuff. Do you know who Rachel McAdams is? If
yes,
I got her
I
name
do.
Right. Okay, who is she?
She's one of those redhead actresses.
Well, she's in Doctor Strange, right?
Yes.
And from what some, you know, Weiner was saying about Doctor Strange, who will remain nameless, even though I talked specifically about this earlier in the episode. She's a big deal. Like, they made a big deal about getting her in the movie. Like, why is she a big deal?
I don't know. She's a popular actress. I mean, you know, she's cute.
What makes her
young,
popular?
She's
done something to be popular. Like, what has made her popular? That's what I'm asking.
Oh, God. I don't know. I can't think of something off the top of my head, to be honest with you.
Okay, so you don't even know why she's popular. She's just a name. Like, I don't even know her name. It's the kind of name that I hear. I'm like, I've probably heard that somewhere, but I don't care.
I mean, I've seen her in a bunch of movies. I just can't think off the top of my head.
Yeah, she's one of those people that's been around, whatever. Like, I don't know anything she's been in. I didn't know who she was.
Sure.
So He Who Shall Remain Nameless's problems with Doctor Strange was that she didn't have a major role. She was just a character in it that could have been anybody.
Okay.
The fuck do you expect? Like, not everybody is goddamn Doctor Strange. Like, seriously. So that's kind of how I feel about casting things. Like, very few names are going to wow me. It's going to be the performance. So we'll discuss these different names. But, I mean, like, who would knock my socks off? Like, I don't know if any actor out there is going to, like, really wow me for, oh, man, they got him as Bloodshot. Sure. You know what? You know, it's like in the Ninja Turtles, they got Stephen Amell to be Casey Jones. He was fucking terrible. Mm. Terrible Casey Jones. Terrible. Was it all his fault? Probably, because
yes.
He's a douche. So whatever. He actually seems like a really nice guy.
Yeah,
but,
he does seem like a very nice guy. He does love listening to his fans, too.
Yeah, okay. I take it back. Stephen Amell is a sweetheart, but he was still a terrible Casey Jones, and I don't like Arrow.
Matter of fact, I think Ronnie mentioned the story on, it might have been on Rebirthically, about he couldn't make it. He was supposed to be at KC, whatever the con is over there, KC Comic Con, we'll just say. And he couldn't, I don't know, something happened, and like he flew like the whole cast or something to the con, like out of pocket. Just so they can like all meet the fans. I don't remember the exact story, but it was something like that.
Yeah, he genuinely seems like a very nice guy. He was involved in WrestleMania like a couple years ago. And like, first of all, as far as an actor being involved in it, like he did his part well. Like he did well with it, but you know, like he seems very genuine.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and like I don't like Arrow. I really hated him as Casey Jones. Part of it was how they structured Casey Jones, but part of it was definitely him.
Yep.
But if he was in something, I'd be like, I can't hate that guy, you know, so we'll see how he does this time. Got my fingers crossed for him. But anyways, yeah, so the Rachel McAdams point, like, I hear a name, like, it's going to be like, do I like the movie? Do I like the performance? Not, oh, that name, it's going to be the best because that name's in it. There are very few names that would have any impact. And honestly, they would probably be role players in the movie anyways. Like Ian McShane, is that his name? The guy who's from Deadwood?
Yep.
Yeah, he was in the movie Hot Rod. Mm-hmm. And that instantly made me not care how bad the movie was because he is fantastic. So
yeah, he is.
The movie ended up, like, I really thought it was funny. I enjoyed it. But up until like halfway through the movie, I was like, this is meh. But Ian McShane's in it, so it's okay.
Amazing. All right, so here's the short list, Paul. Oscar Isaac. Do you know
who's that?
All right, so that's Poe Dameron from the Star Wars movies.
Yeah, yeah. I'm indifferent to him and to the Star Wars movies pretty much, but I could see where if he was in it, that would be a plus because obviously Star Wars is a big deal. So
yes,
people would be like, I love Star Wars. Now he's in this movie and maybe I'll check it out. You know, and
I got to say out of the entire list, he's the one I like the most for the role. He'd have to put on some weight though.
I don't remember exactly what characters were. What was he?
He's the pilot, the X-Wing pilot.
All I remember is there was a black guy and a white guy. Was he the black guy or the white guy?
He's a Spanish guy.
Spanish guy? Oh, man, I'm lost. Wait, Spanish is white, so it's probably the white guy then. But there was a black guy who was one of the main characters in that movie, right?
Yes.
What was that character?
God, I don't remember.
Okay.
He was a clone.
Because he had a bigger part in that movie, didn't he?
Yeah. He's like the second main guy.
Okay. Yeah, so that's the one that I remember better because obviously he had a bigger part. I couldn't tell you much about the movie.
Poe Dameron is the X-Wing pilot that works for the Rebellion. He takes him to the base, to the Rebel base.
I remember vaguely enough. Right, I just don't care enough to talk about this anymore.
Move on next time. The new Star Wars movies are terrible. James McAvoy.
I know James McAvoy. What has he done, though?
He played Beast in one of the X-Men flicks. He was the main character in Split. Did you see Split?
I did not see Split. Did he play Beast in, like, these most recent X-Men movies?
Oh, no,
movies?
Not Beast. He was Professor X in the newest
movie. Oh, yeah.
Young Professor X.
Yeah, he was good in those movies.
Yeah, he's a good actor. I don't know about Bloodshot, but whatever.
Yeah.
Let me tell you, dude, go see Split. I know Mike's seen it.
I'll keep it on my radar.
Mike really liked it. You should go see Split.
Yeah. Is it a horror movie?
It's not a horror movie. It's more a suspense.
Okay.
Suspense thriller, okay. Kind of.
That's fine. I like suspense movies. Even if it's like a suspense horror, I just don't like gore.
Yeah, no, it's not gory at all.
Okay. Good. So I'll keep that on my radar.
Jake Gyllenhaal. That's a no for me,
actually,
automatically.
Yeah. I don't know. Like, I'm trying to think of what he's been in. It's been for. I mean, what was the movie where he hallucinated the rabbit and all the weird stuff? It's been so long. That movie was like such a that's what people my age when they were young watched movie. And Maggie Gyllenhaal was in it, and she was in that other movie where she was naked in it.
Donnie Darko. Yeah.
The thing I remember most from that movie is if you watch the movie, get the DVD, watch the commentary with Jake Gyllenhaal, he does an impression of Christopher Walken as the rabbit.
Mm-hmm.
That is the best thing about that movie.
Mm.
Absolutely the best. So
here's a little bit of trivia for you. They were actually looking at Jake Gyllenhaal. I think it's pronounced like Gyllenhaal or something. Everybody pronounces it wrong. Anyway, it doesn't matter. He was going to be Batman in Batman Begins, and then they chose Christian Bale instead.
The only other movie I can remember that, like, clearly that he did was that, like, one where he was, I think, a Marine or something. Was it Jarhead or something like that?
Yeah, that was good.
Yeah, that was a good movie. Like, I could see him playing that, like, physical type of role that, like, you know, I mean, Batman would be, Bloodshot would be, so, I mean... I don't know. I mean, if they said Jake Gyllenhaal, I wouldn't really feel a strong positive or negative. I'd be like, I recognize the name, and that'd pretty much be the extent of it.
Mm-hmm. All right, the next name on this short list is Nicholas Holt.
Who's that?
Which, I read the name, I was like, who the hell is that? So I looked him up, and I was like, oh yeah, I know that guy. He was Nux in Mad Max Fury Road. I don't know if you saw that.
I haven't seen it yet, but I actually have it.
Yeah, it's really good. You should watch it. What are they called? He's one of the main war boy. He also played Beast in Days of Future Past, X-Men Days of Future Past.
Mm-hmm. I like that Beast.
He was the. Did you ever see About a Boy, that Hugh Grant movie from like 20 years ago? He was the little boy.
I loved that little boy that I don't remember.
Yeah, that's Nick Holt. They're doing a Watership Down miniseries, by the way. He's going to be in it.
Interesting.
Yeah.
Which rabbit is he playing?
Fiverr.
<It's> playing That book took me so long to read. When I finally read it, I really liked it, but it took me so long to get into.
Yeah, so I've never read it. I think we've talked about this.
Yeah, we actually have, probably several times.
It's next on my list. I'm finishing up American Gods, which is terrible, and then I'm going to read Watership Down.
American Gods isn't terrible. It's okay. It's just popular fiction.
It's okay. It's not a masterpiece everyone says it is.
Oh, it's not a masterpiece, no.
Yeah.
You know what Neil Gaiman is a masterpiece? Sandman.
Sandman, yep.
I don't know if any other Neil Gaiman is actually a masterpiece. It's all just, like, good, you know? It's mm-hmm. like nothing else has blown me away with Neil Gaiman. He's just good, you know?
Yep.
But, yeah, his books, they're just popular fiction. I mean, they're very interesting, and if that's your niche, then it's really good, you know? Yep. Kind of like how you guys love Black Eyed Kids, and I thought that comic was really mediocre. It mm-hmm. just was like it was your niche, you know?
Sure.
Yeah, anyways. Moving on.
Yeah, moving on. And then finally, Mark Wahlberg. Old Marky Mark.
That, I think, is kind of hilarious.
Yeah, I thought that was pretty funny, too.
I would have no problem if Mark Wahlberg played that, because you know what? Mark Wahlberg kicks ass.
Yeah, he does.
He is so good. Have you seen The Big Hit?
Yep.
That movie was awesome.
You know what's have not you awesome? Seen Transformers.
Oh, yeah, fuck that. Have you seen, what was the movie with Leonardo DiCaprio and, and one was a cop that went undercover, but nobody, like, it was the kind of thing where it's like, nobody is going to know that this is, that you're really a cop. Like, we disavow you. And then the other guy became a cop and he was actually dirty and was like in the mob.
Hmm.
And Mark Wahlberg was in it.
I don't remember that, but he did a cop movie.
It won a big award.
He did a cop movie with, oh God, what's his name? Elf.
Will Ferrell.
Will
that was
Ferrell.
Hilarious.
Yeah, did you see that?
Yeah.
That was awesome.
Yeah. Okay, now we need to look this up. We need the name of this movie right now, because you know what? This movie was excellent, and I want to stop talking to you and watch it right now, even though it's not going to happen, because I have to be up at 4.
All right, you said it's Mark Wahlberg and who?
Mark Wahlberg, what's his name? The guy from Titanic.
Oh, DiCaprio.
Yeah, DiCaprio was in it. One of the guys from Good Will Hunting. Yes. Oh, my God.
Oh, my God, yes.
He was so he didn't have a big part in that movie, but he was so good. And the thing is, Mark Wahlberg, anything I've seen him in that like I've wanted to watch, he's just so good at his roles.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like in The Big Hit, like he was a badass, but it was hilarious because he was like, you know, he was like such a nice guy for a murderer.
Yep.
And like he had heartburn because like he just wanted people to like be happy around him, and like that movie was hilarious.
Yep.
But then like in The Departed, when you get to the end and he's there and like he's all like he's a good cop, he's really good at what he does, and he goes in like gloves on, like full, like he's totally covered up so there will be no evidence, and he goes in. Who was the other guy in that movie? The guy from Good Will Hunting. Which one of them it was?
Yeah, the Jason Bourne guy, Matt Damon.
Yeah, yeah, Matt Damon, right? Yeah, yeah. He goes in and he kills Matt Damon because Matt Damon, killed, you know, like killed DiCaprio or whatever. I mean, whatever. All the stuff that had Jack Nicholson was also in that movie.
Mm-hmm.
But all the stuff that happened, like he was this dirty cop that is, you know, in the mob, and is going to get away with everything. He goes in and kills him.
Yep.
And just the way he did it, like, it's just so fucking good. Like, what a good ending to that movie. And they did it so well. And he's so good at his role. So, like, I would be very happy if he was Bloodshot. Because, you know what? Dude's got a physique to him. Like, mm-hmm. he's clearly worked on his body. But, like, he can act in any different way, shape, or form, you know? So, that list of guys, you got a bunch of young guys. Do you think Bloodshot's a young guy? Like, I don't take Bloodshot as being a young guy.
No, but I mean, with makeup and special effects, I don't think it'd make any difference.
Yeah. They could do it. I'm not saying they couldn't do it. Age isn't the most important factor, but I'm saying, you know, you might say, oh, Mark Wahlberg's too old to do that. I don't think so. I think Bloodshot's been around. You know, I think putting an older guy in that role, it's not like Mark Wahlberg is old. How old is he? Is he in his 40s, 50s?
Oh, dude, he's got to be pushing 50, right?
Yeah, my guess is 71. He's pushing 50. He's, not quite
he was
50.
Born in 71.
Yeah, so he's 46. Yeah, that sounds perfect to me. Like, I actually, like, out of all those names, I think Mark Wahlberg is the first name you would, like, snicker about. But out of all those names, it's the one that I would be like, this could be really good.
Mm-hmm.
And he's also by far the biggest name in any of those.
Yes.
In acting and in music. So there you go.
Oh, man. Yeah, I think with the people they might try to want to get to watch this movie, either Wahlberg or Oscar Isaac would be top two, right? I don't know, dude. Like, James McAvoy, dude, go see Split. God, he's fucking good in that.
Mm.
Anyways,
I sold myself on Mark Wahlberg. I hate fan casting, but you know. It could be a little like now that there's actually something like at least vaguely concrete, it's more interesting to talk about. But like to me, pulling shit out of your ass. And the thing is, the people who people pick for fan casting are always absurd.
Sure.
It would be like somebody that, you know, really likes the Arrow being like, oh, Stephen Amell should be Bloodshot because they like Arrow. It's like, no, no. Mm. And that's the thing. Like when you're picking somebody for a role, it's not because you love them in something else, because they were great for that role.
Yeah.
But that doesn't mean that they're going to be great for this role, and you want the person that's going to be great for this role, you know?
Yep.
There's so many times, I mean, like, you mentioned Transformers. Like, how many people in movies like that, they're only there because they're a name?
Sure.
You know, I mean, Stephen Amell is Casey Jones in The Last Ninja Turtles. What's her name is April O'Neil. You know, it's like she's not there because she's going to be a great April O'Neil. She's there because of her name.
Right.
You know, Seamus is Rocksteady. Come on. Let that sink in a little bit. Seamus is Rocksteady. He's not even a good acting wrestler.
Yeah, but...
They had to make Rocksteady Irish.
Yeah.
Rocksteady's not Irish. In the newest cartoon, they made him Russian. That's not Irish either.
Do you watch The 100?
No, that's one that I want to get around to eventually, though.
Okay. Well, one of the main characters is Paige Turco. She was April O'Neil in TMNT 2 and 3 in the 90s.
Hmm.
Yep. And every time I see it, I'm like, oh, April O'Neil. Even though she's, you know, 25 years older now.
Yeah.
Anyway. What else you got, Paul?
I forgot to... I got all distracted by your conversation. Give me a second. Let me pull this up here. Just send this to Sparkman. He'll edit it. It'll be flawless. He's the best editor.
He is. But I need to have this out tomorrow. I'm not doing that to the poor guy.
Oh, man. That's because you're the worst. Just cancel on me Tuesday after Tuesday.
Can't help it. Busy. Man, this
okay, so yeah, here. So I thought this was interesting. Somebody made a comment. I think this was in the big Facebook group, and it just got me thinking a little bit. Like, you know, sometimes we see comments and like we will, I don't know, kind of pick at them. You know, we'll knock them a little bit because they're being like really, you know, like I think this is best. So why doesn't Valiant do everything I want? Kind of mm-hmm. comments. Mm-hmm. But like some of the like the one I brought up earlier, it's you know some of the comments we've talked about tonight, they're not comments like that. It's kind of more just like, hey, this was just a thought I had and I want to see what other people think.
Yes.
And somebody made a comment about how Valiant has killed off characters with really strong potential, characters that have had some growth to them and could be really great.
Mm.
And my reply to it was just that if you kill a shitty character, it doesn't matter. Like, then it doesn't matter. Like, if you don't have to worry about a character with potential being killed, there's no threat
mm-hmm.
of there's no threat of death. There's no risk. Like, you never actually worry about losing a character.
Yeah.
You have to have that risk of anybody can die. Some characters are much less likely to die.
Sure.
But if there's not that risk, you know, like reading The Valiant, when you were reading The Valiant, did you think Kay was going to die all the way through that or something?
Nope.
You know, like, ooh, yeah, Kay dies at the end. And that series, before that, it's like Kay was just, she wasn't a major, you know, like a well-built character. They were building her up some, but I mean, she was not like this character before that. that you were like, oh, Kay's great, you
right,
know?
Right.
Like, I remember her character from Archer and Armstrong. And, I mean, she started off as not being a likable character. And then she got thrown into this weird position, basically. Mm-hmm. But then in The Valiant, that's where you really got to where you grew to love the character.
Yep.
So then her dying at the end of The Valiant was like, oh, shit. Like, she was a key component to that story. Like, that story makes you think, like, oh, big things are going to be coming from Kay. I'm looking forward to it. And then you get to the fourth issue and she dies.
Mm-hmm.
If you don't have that risk, then you know, we talk about dead is dead in Valiant. And I know you can nitpick that with some of the stuff that's happened, whatever. But if dead is dead in Valiant, but they're never going to kill anybody that might be good,
mm-hmm.
then it doesn't matter. I mean, they might as well kill him and bring him back, because it doesn't matter if you're not going to kill somebody that matters,
yep.
you know?
Yep.
And ultimately, like, any character that you kill, like, if you're going to kill somebody and they're going to be dead, you know, every person matters. Like, every person is a big component of somebody's life. So whether or not they're big to us as a reader is just, like, has their life been explored or not, you know? Today, the news came out that Chris Cornell died. And when I first heard it, I was like, I don't really care. Like, I mean, it's always sad when somebody dies, but, like, I don't particularly care.
Sure.
You know, Soundgarden had, like, one song I know well. I didn't really listen to them. That's not my thing. I didn't really think of the music that he made as being much more than mainstream music that, mm-hmm. like, you know, a lot of, I mean, obviously connect with a lot of people, but it's the kind of thing, like, I listen, you know, I was this age and that was the age you listen to popular music.
Yep.
So you listen to it, you know?
Yep.
But then as the day goes on, you see people's comments on it, you know, he meant more to other people than he did to me. And that's always to be expected. And, you know, and then you find out stuff like, you know, he committed suicide. He hung himself.
Mm-hmm.
And you get all these other details and it makes it more real. And it's like, you know what? When I just heard Chris Cornell died, it's like, shrug. It doesn't, you know, like that doesn't affect me right now because I don't have any connection to Chris Cornell. But when you start fleshing out the details and he becomes more of a person, you know, more he's meant this to these other people. He hung himself. Like, that's, you know, dying is one thing. Committing suicide is that adds more stuff onto it. But, like, I don't know, like, not to say that any kind of suicide is better or worse than the other, but, like, when you hear somebody hung themselves, like, it catches you up a little bit more than some of the other things you could hear for committing suicide, you know? So I don't know, like, the times that I know of that somebody has hung themselves, like, there's, it's just, the stuff that they were going through was really, really rough stuff, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And, usually nobody knew it. Whatever, it's hard stuff. But the point is, like, you flesh out these details, and now I do feel sad that he died. You know, it's not just like a celebrity died, you know, shrug, whatever. Now it's like, you know, there's more details there, so, like, I feel more about it. It's the same thing with characters in a comic book. You know, I mean, miscellaneous Psyot B dies in this issue of Imperium.
Mm-hmm.
Doesn't mean a damn thing. If they took part of an issue to tell you who that guy was, it would mean more.
Yep.
If they took an arc to build that guy up, it would mean more. You know what? This guy's a Psyot. He's something. He's not just some normal person. So, like, even just in the context of comic books, like, this guy isn't just, like, the minimum impact. But, you know, even if somebody is normal, like, how many times in comic books do you see where it doesn't even take, like, knowing the character, but you see, like, there's some villain is attacking, and one of the things that, like, you know, I don't know, like, Ginger blew up Mexico City, right?
Sure.
Who do you think died? Like, was it just, like, a bunch of drug dealers you don't care about? Was it, you know, all the people that Trump says is coming over from there that are just rapists and drug dealers? No, it's, okay, well, yeah, there's normal people. You know, okay, well, normal people die. Well, that's sad, but I don't know them. So how sad, like, it's sad, but it's whatever, you know.
Mm-hmm.
But they show you an image of a mother holding a baby that you know, they don't show her die. They don't even have to show her die.
Right.
But you know she died because she's there. And then you have to think about, like, how many mothers with babies are there? How many babies are there? How many children are there? You know, how many people who do so many things to help other people are there? And all these people died. You know, so there's any person that dies in a comic book can be a character that matters. So the fact that Valiant is actually going to build up a character and then kill them, it gives us that sense where you can never feel fully confident that a character won't die.
Yep.
You know, is it likely that Exo is going to die? It's less likely that we're going to see him die in a comic book than a smaller character that doesn't have their own title, but
right.
It's not completely impossible, you know?
Yep, no, I agree. You ready to wrap this one up, Paul?
I feel like we should have something else a little bit lighter than my diatribe on death to end it.
Like what?
I don't know. Don't we have any more listener questions or something?
I don't know. I haven't checked the email in like a week, so I couldn't tell you.
Yeah, I know, because you never forward me emails either.
Dude, I'm busy.
I got all these great questions from these people. I'll forward them to you.
I'm busy. Busy, Paul.
Busy. So you know what? Let's do this. We don't review books. We don't necessarily talk specifically about like what's happening right now. It's just we talk about what we talk about. But what are you most hype about with what you're reading right now?
In terms of Valiant or in general?
Both. Give me some, like, what in Valiant is your favorite thing right now? And then in general, what's your favorite thing?
Well, I mean, in Valiant right now, it's Exo, without a doubt.
Oh, yeah, that's starting off so good.
Yeah, I mean, it's so weird. Like, with Venditti's run, it was really good. But at the same time, like, it felt super quick, right? Like, you read it really fast. And you're like, God damn, I have to wait 4 more weeks for this. With Matt's run, it's like it takes a lot longer to read an issue, so it feels a little more savory, if you will.
Yeah, no, that actually makes a lot of sense. And, you know, I love Venditti's Exo, but I also read a lot of his Green Lanterns that he did. I read – was the Flash that he did also?
Yeah, he was co-writing Flash.
Yeah, and I read some of that, and I think Venditti has a knack for telling a story in a way that works really well for – like what the big two do also.
Mm-hmm.
You know, he's a very good story writer, but like he's good at like that type of writing that like kind of keeps it moving, but he also like he takes it to another level where he keeps all these threads out there, but it's, you know, some you read some stories where they leave these threads out there and then they want to pull them back in, but like it's kind of, you know, it's like the story gets divergent and then they're trying to tie it back together and it just doesn't work. Venditti, it's like he really makes a tapestry out of it. He's very good at what he does.
Yep.
But you know, Matt Kent's writing and the, you know, what he builds. So the last comics in black and white that I did with Jay, and we did Essex County.
Yep.
And that's Jeff Lemire, obviously, not Matt Kent. But we talked for so much longer than I expected to about it, because you know what? When you talk about Essex County, I mean, it is long. It's 500 pages, but you can read that book so freaking quick,
mm-hmm.
because so much of the story is told with very minimal words.
Right.
And but there is so much to the story. It's not just this happened, then this happened, then this happened. There's so much going on in each thing, and you have to understand how things are intertwined and how, you know, like it's about how things are affecting people internally too, you know? So it wasn't just okay, this is what's happening and this is what we thought about it. Like it took a while to talk about it, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And like, we weren't even as thorough as we could have been. And that's kind of Matt Kent. He, the way he builds a story is it doesn't stay as surface level. There's more depth to it. That's why, you know, I mean, we've talked about this before, but some of the complaints we heard from some people when it first came out, it's like they took the black and white things that they saw and then they just pulled shit out of their ass for what it meant.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like, well, Eric just decided to leave his wife. He just decided to leave Earth.
Yep.
No, just because they didn't tell you why yet doesn't mean that that's what it is. There's a lot more depth to it. So when you're reading it critically, you're looking at it and you're saying, okay, well, he's gone from Earth. Why is he gone from Earth? He's gone from Sana. Why is he gone from Sana?
Right.
He's obviously upset that he's gone from Sana. You know, they subtly show that. But yeah, there's so much more to it.
Yep.
So yeah, I've really been enjoying that. For my thing for Valiant, so Ninjak 27 just came out, which is the end of this run in Ninjak, and it's also not written by Matt Kent, which I never quite understand why they do that. But I really liked the end. I haven't read 27 yet, but I really liked the end of Matt Kent's story. And I started getting everything in trade. Like, that's, I decided I'm going to switch to doing stuff in trade.
Mm-hmm.
Suits me better. And I'm really looking forward to getting and reading all of Ninjak in trade again. So
yep,
that's what I'm kind of excited about right now in Valiant, because I'm just kind of making a shift with stuff. What about outside of Valiant? What's your number one thing that you are digging right now?
Outside of Valiant, I really like God Country from Image. I don't know if you're reading that. It's Donnie Cates.
No, I'm reading pretty much everything except for very few things in trade. So if it's something that you really like, you'll tell me about it. And then when the trade comes out, I'll probably check it out. That'll be how I go about it.
Yeah, I'm trying to think. What's out now? I think issue 5 is out, so I'm sure there'll be a trade fairly soon. God Country is really good. I've always liked Donnie Cates' stuff. It's all like high energy, like just really good reads. And God Country is interesting. It's this old man with Alzheimer's, lives out in like Kansas or something. It's kind of like The Wizard of Oz in some ways. This like tornado hits, and all of a sudden he's like this super strong dude with like this godlike sword, and there's like gods and monsters after him to get the sword back. It's super weird, but it's really, really good. He's got a book for Aftershock coming out too, which I'm excited for, called Baby Teeth. And it's about a teenage girl that's pregnant with the Antichrist.
That sounds like an Aftershock book.
Well, it sounds like a Donnie Cates book, to be honest with you.
Yeah.
Everything he does is fantastic. God Country from Image. Pestilence from Aftershock just came out. It is freaking awesome, dude. It's like, what if the Black Plague was a zombie apocalypse thing? It's really good. Really well done. There's a lot of boobs in the first issue. But I'm really digging that. From Marvel, I'm loving the Secret Empire thing. I know there's a lot of haters. Yeah, I know there's a lot of haters on it, but you know what? They can lick my nuts because it's pretty awesome. I love it.
I'm looking forward to checking that out. I'm also looking forward to. So with Marvel right now, I've only read like the first issues, and I actually haven't read X-Men Blue yet even. But I'm digging the new X-Men stuff for what I've seen so far, and I'm excited about seeing the X-Men go somewhere better than what they were doing.
Yeah, blue is not bad. Gold needs a little bit of work.
Yeah, we'll see. But I'm really digging X-Men. What I'm really digging is I've been reading through the old Uncanny X-Men. I started with Giant Size number 1, and then, you know, 94 from there. Sure. I read the first two, like the big collections they have. I think I've read through issue 144 now. And I just, like, I'm really falling in love with it. So I'm starting to, not too aggressively, but I'm starting to collect Uncanny X-Men.
Interesting.
And I just picked up the first Mr. Sinister.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, I forget what issue number it is offhand, but it's a nice cover with Wolverine. But I really like Mr. Sinister. I haven't read much of him, but he was involved in an arc in the Uncanny X-Men that I started reading, which was right after Schism. So yeah, I'm digging X-Men. I'm realizing I picked up some other old Marvel stuff, and I realize I don't dig it the same way that I'm digging X-Men. Mm-hmm. So that's kind of my Marvel thing right now is I really enjoy X-Men. I even picked up a set of the 6 X-Men movies that are out, and nice. I never watched Apocalypse. I'm starting to watch that right now, and I know it's like it's total like bastardization of the comics, but
yes.
So far I'm still fairly early in.
It's an fun, enjoyable though.
Movie.
Yeah,
whatever,
fun.
You know. It's yeah. Fun. Yeah, so that's as far as that goes, that's what I'm digging right now. But for, like, I guess my big two outside of Valiant stuff. Aside from that, man, I've been dabbling in so many different things that it's just been really interesting. Doing comics in black and white between Jay and Dennis, they're both constantly suggesting so many things that are outside of what I would go after on my own.
Yep.
But in some way, shape, or form is interesting and appealing. So there's a lot of different stuff I'm checking out. One of the things I'm most excited about coming out in July is the Ninja Turtle Usagi crossover that that Stan Sakai is involved with too. That's going to be awesome. So everybody should check that out.
Yeah, yeah, I saw that. And I just read Motor Girl, by the way.
Oh yeah, Terry Moore. That, you know, that's really probably the biggest thing that I've really dove into in the last few months is Terry Moore in general. Motor Girl issue 5 is the most recent issue out. It's only going to be a 10 issue run. Rachel Rising is what sold me hard on Terry Moore, and we did a comics in black and white, you and I, on that, and then I did a second episode with Ronnie to kind of finish up the series.
Yep.
But yeah, that just, I'm sold so hard on Terry Moore. I got the Echo omnibus, I got the Strangers in Paradise omnibus. I haven't read Echo yet, and I've only read a little bit of Strangers in Paradise before. But yeah, Motor Girl, it's so good, and I don't quite get when people don't like it. Like, I understand that, you know, if you're looking for certain things in comics, but Motor Girl, there's like kind of fun, silly stuff with it, but man, there's so much like heavy stuff under the surface there. I'm really digging that.
Yep.
Okay. All right, let's wrap this up now.
Let's wrap this up. You've been listening to the Valiant Central Podcast, episode 127. If you don't know by now, you can reach us on all the internet machines. On the Twitter machine, we're at Who's Paul, at Geekvine, at Valiant _ Central. Email is hello@nerdlegion.com. Facebook.com/group/ Valiant Central is the group. And, see, I haven't even attempted to look at reviews, Paul. Don't forget to do reviews on whatever your favorite podcasting app or service is. iTunes really helps with the exposure, but there's Google Play, Stitcher, TuneIn. We're on stuff I don't even know about. And I just got an email from this company, so I'm going to be testing getting new episodes via Facebook Messenger, which I think is kind of cool. Anyways, I'll announce that next time. We'll catch you next week.